Thanks, James. Thanks, Paul. It really was a great spectacle yesterday. Arriving at the church, we had this place filled with this prayer meeting going on. We had the upstairs filled with the worship conference, worship training and stuff going on. And downstairs catered for all the people that were going to eat. And then outside, the parking lot was chock-a-block, wall to wall, with cars selling every imaginable, conceivable item, from clothes to pictures to food to other items. And what was encouraging was, as I began engaging with some of the folk, like I saw Karina, I said, "How did it go with the stuff you brought?" She says, "Oh, it's all sold out." And just that, you know, it was the first of its kind. It's got great potential for a community blessing, but also for people to get rid of, you know, your rubbish might be someone else's treasure, and their rubbish might be your treasure. Not that we're selling rubbish, but, you know, it's a guy's way of saying stuff that hasn't been used in the last year, you know. So if you've got clothes and stuff that just lying there and you think, "Gee, I don't want to throw it away, I'd rather give it to a good cause," then this is a way to make some pocket money for your Christmas shopping and buy a couple of items at the next car boot sale here. And then you can be back in February to get rid of all the gifts you got given that you didn't really like. You also get some of those. Like, who would buy me pink socks? Gee, this is going to be great for the car boot sale in February. So, yeah, it was just great to see the involvement and the participation amongst those who came. And it was a lot of fun. We're going to take up our morning offering. This has got nothing to do with the Bonbuster now. This is our church tithes and offerings, our giving, our partnership in keeping 10 Harvey Road up and running. And so just as those folk come, kind of feel like we've had church today. Do you get that feeling? Tell the person next to you, "I'm glad you came. Yeah, you really needed it." I felt like just a church is a praying church. A church is a worshiping church. A church that gets its eyes on Jesus, the body and the blood. Thanks, Jen, for sharing that from your heart. I know that the whole week she's been saying, "I've got the stirring in me. I want to say something about communion." I said, "Well, we're having communion this Sunday. So thanks for being open about your emotion." Isn't that beautiful to see you can be serving the Lord for 35 years and still be passionate about the breaking of bread? And we should be. And we can even come and be enthusiastic about taking up the morning offering. In fact, the Bible says God loves a, not a tearful giver, a cheerful giver. So as we come this morning to bring our offerings, we do it cheerfully. So God bless you as you do that. Amen. Well, I'm glad I came to church because I'm encouraged. Halfway through the week, I saw a picture that sort of characterized maybe how I was feeling. I don't know if anyone else had a week where you see a picture and a picture paints 1,000 words. So there's this picture that I'm hoping will come up that it's been a rough week, but I made it. Thanks, guys. I wasn't sure how that was going to fit in with such a positive morning. But about halfway through the week, I felt like all the feathers had been pulled out. And I know that's not how you felt, or else you wouldn't be here this morning. It's those empty seats. Oh, those are the plucked chickens, you know. And I thought, "Lord, I'm man of power for the hour. This is a month of prayer. We're trusting God for big things, making big asks. We've had some great prophetic words come through the church in the last couple of weeks. And we really feel like 2016, watch out, here we come." And some of the feathers went missing. But they're back in place. With God, all things are possible. Even to share this message in the next 10 minutes. All things are possible. How's your prayer week going? How's your prayer time going? We've had some good times in the office. I've said to the admin team, It's just, even if it's 10 minutes, you know, you don't have to, when you think of having a prayer meeting, put aside hours and hours. You can pray in 10 minutes in faith. Do it at work. Do it with your family. Do it at life group, certainly. And we'll be doing it here at the church. Not because we think now November is a month of prayer and then it's over. No, no, in our understanding of grace, God has repositioned us to bring about those hundreds and thousands of volts in the electricity cables that are lying dormant. He's wanting us to earth it into this planet. And we do that through agreement. Amen? And we're having a prayer meeting at the office, and we're all very spiritual. No? And just in our most spiritual moment, there must be some lady standing outside the wall, behind the wall, and the window's open into the car park. And she's got a baby who's practicing to be the next Idol's star. And this little baby is hallelujahing and yodeling and a little bit of crying. Wasn't actually quite sure what it was doing, but it was having a joyful noise. Making a wonderful noise. And while we pray, at first it was like a little bit interfering and intimidating because we're very spiritual people. And when you're feeling very spiritual, you don't want those kind of distractions to come along because they bring out the unspiritual side of you, like irritation and... But Nita, I don't know, for some reason, saw the funny side of us. So while we all praying loud and straining to tone the outside interference, she starts giggling. You know, she just starts like giggling. And the more you know when you're like naughty kid sitting around the table and the parents have told you not to giggle? And it just provokes it to more giggling and more giggling. She must have thought no one else saw the funny side, so she needed to keep it to herself. But that was the worst thing that she could have possibly done. Anyway, this kind of all happened in like just a few minutes, I don't know how long it was. And then she started to pray. But the amazing thing was, as she started to pray, there came this authority. I felt the feathers get put back in place. She just started praying with a boldness. She started praying with like thanksgiving. And it was just like a moment that happened. And I, after the prayer meeting, I went to her and I said, there was a real release of faith in your prayer this morning. You should do that more often. And she giggled some more. But it did remind me of that passage of scripture that we've been looking at over the last few months. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things. Can we have that verse up, guys? Philippians 4 verse 8. Be anxious about, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, say every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Say with thanksgiving. Present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart, your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, a few weeks back, remember we did a series on anxiety and stress and how that affects people around us and how we need to overcome it by the renewing of the mind. And we looked at that. And then some weeks back, we looked at the whole thing of don't be anxious, but pray. And we looked at prayer that's both horizontal and vertical in that it's intimacy and it's invasion. And this morning, I want to just in this little bit of time we got left is encourage you, as I encourage myself, to pray with thanksgiving. To pray with thanksgiving means you're allowed to be a little bit happy when you pray. You can even smile or giggle or chuckle. To pray with thanksgiving means you just got a dose of joy and maybe God's going to bring it through the strangest thing. Because, I mean, who wants to spend their life being anxious? Come on. I mean, why would you do that? Why would you spend your life always feeling anxious about everything? Anxious that the petrol price came up. Anxious that something else is not working. Anxious that this person didn't speak to you. Anxious that the service might go on too late. Anxious that there's a noise that's disturbing someone. Anxious that someone's phone rings. Anxious that, you know, it's too hot. It's too cold. I mean, we can't live with anxiety all the time. Come on, church. So how do we overcome this thing? Through prayer with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. And I don't know, there's just something about Nita's joyful lightheartedness that just reminded me of this again. That I wrote down five lies that we often believe, that if we don't find our joy in them, they're going to rob us of our effectiveness. Five things that restrict us from our praying with thanksgiving that will cause our prayers just to hardly make the ceiling of faith. But there's something when you come with that joy and delight and happiness in God that causes even our most simple prayers, our most ordinary prayers, to be faith-packed and hit their mark, reach their target. You want to pray those kind of prayers? Come on, Christian life is too short not to pray prayers that are effective. Christian life is too short to pray prayers that are full of hot air and no faith. So the thanksgiving aspect, I believe, is a key. It's okay, so I haven't got 30 minutes to do this in, so I'm going to have to... Can you listen fast? Five areas of issues where we need to be thankful. Because when we do this, we'll identify the lies that keep us from being thankful. Say, I want to be thankful when I pray. I want to be joyful when I pray. And this morning, Holy Spirit, let me hear these five areas that may be preventing and hindering my praying with thanksgiving so that I can pray in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Number one, we need to expose the lie that says that things are never going to change and it's just the way they always are. Maybe you're praying in your family right now and then this lie comes and it says, things are just going to be this way, and that's the way it is. Maybe you're praying for your business, and this lie comes and says, just accept this is the way it's going to be. Now, the best thing to bring thanksgiving is to have a Nita moment. You know what a Nita moment? We're going to create a new language around Nita, who's on leave this week, so she's not going to know what you're talking about when you see her next week and say, I had a Nita moment this week. I started giggling at the lie that things are just going to always be the way they are. And I'm laughing at the lie because God says that it's going to come to pass. That this isn't going to be forever. It's not going to be forever. Come on now. I feel like there's three people who believe that, but not everybody yet today. Tell the person you're with, it's not going to last forever. It's going to come to pass. Let's have a Nita moment. Should we do that? Should I read out the lie and then you have a Nita moment? Eh? Like, is it Buckland says just laugh. How does he say? Laugh at the lies. Okay, so here's the lie. It says we need to expose the lie that says things are never going to change. They're always going to be the same. Come on, have a Nita moment. Oh, that was terrible. I mean, that just wasn't bad. Okay, the second lie. I've got to get through these lies. Okay. And that's not a lie, okay? I want to get through this. Okay, so the second lie is that there's no solution to this problem. Hey, someone had a Nita moment. Come on. I mean, you're praying for your business and you just think there's no solution. I mean, it's like God went to the angels and said, you know, we've made provision for everything, every difficulty, every calamity. We've made provision in heaven. But there's this one thing that Michelle prayed, or Joe prayed, or Diane prayed, or Mark prayed. That one prayer, that's the one we made no provision for. Sorry, guys. It's like, it's ludicrous. Even the angels will have a Nita moment. So here it is. The lie is that there's going to be no solution. The truth is, in God, there's always a solution. There's nothing we face today that he hasn't put the answer in somebody or in us, but we just have to find it. The third lie that we believe in our prayer. Third lie that we need to expose so we can give thanks and be joyful is the lie that says nothing good can come out of this. Okay, now let's try this. We're going to have a neat moment now. I'm going to read the lie and then you're going to have a neat moment. The lie says nothing good can come out of this. Somebody's getting it. Someone else is visiting this morning going, I heard it was a sect. Now my suspicions have been confirmed. You see, all we're doing this morning is, if we laugh at lies, then we dismantle their arguments. If we laugh at our lies, we let the lie know that we've seen it to be for what it is. It's a lie. When we find thanksgiving in our prayer, when the thought comes and says, things are always going to be this way, there's no solution, or nothing good can come out of this, I've got to remind myself that God's word says that he's working all things together for good. So anything that is contrary to the truth is a lie, and I'm going to expose lies by being thankful, joyful, happy, laugh, and have a celebration. That will do more good for your faith than going to a 6-week faith convention in unbelief. Okay, I got two more and I got 2 more minutes, so here we go. The fourth lie is this. That we think this problem is indicative that nothing has changed and I'm still where I always was. There you go. This problem shows me I'm the same as I always was. But that's not the truth. Because you're not where you always were. And you know that sometimes for something to grow, it's actually got to go through a few encountered problems. You know that nothing gets to change and grow in the natural, which is a picture of our spiritual, without some bumping things over, stretching, peeling, cracking, getting. Nothing, a little bit of burning, nothing can change if it's not experiencing some kind of growth. So problems themselves come in this camouflage of a growing experience. So when we believe a lie, that because I see this problem in my life, I say, you see, I haven't grown, I'm just the way I was. If we believe that, we'll be under fear. If we believe that, we'll be in bondage. I've got to deliberately bring myself to a place of saying that even this problem is a picture of me growing and learning new things and changing. Yeah, but Steve, you don't get my situation. I mean, it's the same problem that I've encountered before. Well, you don't know that. You don't know if it's exactly the same. It might look the same, but it might have changed. Because that lump of soil on top of the seed, as it's trying to press through, keeps looking the same. But the problem eventually opens up into a solution. Because that little seed can't grow until it's pushed a whole lot of soil out the way. And you're looking at your problem and saying, no, this just proves that nothing has changed. I'm still the same. It's just the same old problem over and over. Maybe it's not. It's just a different perspective of the same problem. Are you with me? So when we don't have to be anxious. We can pray with thanksgiving. So all we're learning to do is laugh at the lies. Because if we believe the lies, we're going to come back into bondage. Hope this is helpful for somebody. You want to be fruitful, you have to change. You want to change, you're going to have some problems. Let me say it again. You want to be fruitful, there's going to come some change. With change, there's going to be some problems. So we look at our problems as friends and say, okay, you've just told me that there's some change coming and there can be no fruitfulness without change. So I might not get the whole picture right now. But I'm not going to just slip into anxiety and say, look, it's always just the same. Nothing's changed. It's just the way it is. I'm going to start believing that like that little seed of faith, I'm going to press through this mountain of obstacle and problem and difficulty. Can you see yourself doing that? Can you see yourself right now, that thing you're facing? And I know there's people in this church facing huge challenges. Even when I prepare something like this, my heart is aching inside of me because I can hear the counter arguments. But I can't just stick with the counter arguments. I've got to come and just proclaim truth. And truth is that you don't need to be anxious for anything. But through prayer and petition, you can bring your request to God with thanksgiving so that the peace of Christ can rule in your heart. And when you got peace in your heart, you will make good decisions. You will get through the situation. You will be an overcomer. But when there's no peace and our heart's in turmoil and torn apart, we don't have any victory in our lives. I'm aware that there's people sitting here going through big stuff in their life. And in a way, you might be tempted to just say, yeah, Steve, this is for somebody else. This is a message for somebody else. Because you don't understand my thing. I've been around this problem over and over. This problem, I'm just stuck with this problem. Well, maybe I'm just that voice in the dark coming and speaking into the light and saying, maybe it's not the same problem. Maybe it looks like the same problem. But maybe the problem itself has changed, but it's indicative that you are going to produce fruit. Somebody needed to hear that today. The final lie that we need to expose so that we can pray with thanksgiving is that lie that says, this problem, it's just the will of God. You got it. This problem, that's just the will of God. This marriage disaster, this sickness, this financial collapse, it must be God's will. Now, let me read to you what the scripture says. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. So what is the will of God? To give thanks in every situation so that you pray without ceasing and you rejoice all the time. That's the will of God. The will of God is not the obstacle you're facing right now. The obstacle is not that sickness. I mean, the will of God is not that sickness. The will of God is not that obstacle. The will of God is not that problem or that thing you read in the newspaper that's brought anxiety to your heart, or that thing that someone in your family said to you that brought anxiety to your heart, or that emotion you wake up in the middle of the night with feeling like your feathers have been ripped out of their sockets. That's not the will of God. The will of God is that we learn to give thanks in all circumstances. The will of God is that we learn to find joy in a little neater moment, and he won't mind me putting that in the scripture. And we found that little bit of joy, that little bit of praise, that little bit of happiness. Because when we can learn to laugh at the lies, we see our faith elevated and brought into thankfulness and thanksgiving. And it puts wings on our prayers. And we see breakthrough. And we receive the peace of God in our heart. And maybe you're sitting there going, yeah, well, are you saying we must give thanks in the circumstance or for the circumstance? Well, I don't know. Take your pick. I remember as a young Christian, because in those days we were only allowed to read the King James by the order of the church. It says, for all circumstances. And the word for in is interchangeable in the sense it's just a preposition. But the sense of it is to give thanks in the midst of that circumstance. But that doesn't make it wrong to give thanks for something unless that's just weird. I mean, if your child just had a car accident and is on life support and you go in there and tell the nurse how grateful you are for this car accident, they might be tempted to call in the security. Or maybe they'll pluck your feathers out. I think every situation you have to judge. You have to say, I'm going to choose to give God for the situation. I remember as a young Christian, you remember reading those books, the Harold Hill books? Some of you go back to my era, Harold Hill, Praise Works. And Praise Works, it was King's Kid, Living Like a King's Kid, all those. I mean, he really found a key in this thing of giving thanks for a situation. So if you want to give thanks for the situation you find yourself in, just maybe do it a little bit softly so you don't confuse everybody else. But know that that's not God's will that you've been thankful for. You just giving thanks for a situation, it's like laughing at it. You know, giving thanks for something ridiculous is like laughing at it. And the enemy throws his best at you, and then you like just, you say, I just want to give thanks for this situation. It's like laughing in the face of calamity. It just doesn't make sense. But that's what faith is all about at times, where it doesn't seem to make sense. But I'm praying in this situation, this lie comes to me to accept this because it's God's will. I said, no, it's not God's will. I'll tell you what God's will is. Ha, ha, ha. That's God's will. While I'm praying, I'm going to find thanksgiving in my heart when I'm tempted to believe the lie that this is just going to always be the way it is, that this is never going to change, that nothing good can come out of this situation, that this problem is the same old problem that keeps showing itself, and that maybe that's just the will of God. I'm going to keep on saying, God, I'm going to give you thanks in this situation because your word says, continue rejoicing and do not give up praying. Giving thanks to God, this is your will. That is praying with thanksgiving. I want to pray for people going through marriage crisis right now. People going through health issues right now. People looking at the market and the economies right now. And it's bringing fear and anxiety and concern. And I want to pray that from a place of joy and thanksgiving, our faith will not be robbed. Our confidence will not be stolen. So can we just stand up as we dismiss this morning? I know it's been a bit of a longer service. I do know it's hot as well. But Lord, this morning we thank you that we've had church. We've had a time of engaging with your presence. And now I want to pray the scripture over this dear family that you've given me the privilege of being a pastor in. To be anxious for nothing. I want to remove anxiety this morning in the name of Jesus. And I want to pray for the peace of Christ to guard your heart. I want to pray for you right now that as you leave this place today, and maybe all these five areas don't apply to you, but maybe there's one that does. And you say, I'm going to just start there, where I thought this thing is never going to change, or where I thought this situation has no solution, or where I thought God can't do, nothing good can come out of this. Lord, I'm going to start to trust you. I'm going to start to get a giggling moment against the lie. I'm going to have a moment of confidence that my God is bigger than the situation. So I pray over this month of prayer, Lord, I pray that you would just keep us intact. I pray you would just put your protection over us. As a church, as we look not only to our own needs, but the needs of this nation, I pray you'd give us wisdom and discernment. You'd give us intercessory compassion and passion for the nation. I pray, Lord, that over this month of prayer, Lord, you would speak to us in the still of the night. I pray the prophetic gifts, the words of knowledge, the words of wisdom would manifest in our lives. I pray as we come together on Sundays that our worship would be intercessory, that our prophetic would be heard and would be counted. And Lord, we would not just stand on these 100,000 volts of energy, but we would see heaven and earth connected. We would see heaven and earth invaded on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day and keep praying.